Remarks at meeting of California and Bee Association. San Francisco, California, October 1, 1901. Special meeting of the Board of Directors of the California and Bee Association, duly called and held on Tuesday, October 1, 1901, at 11 o'clock a.m. at 1436 Market Street, San Francisco, California. Present: Elder Jones, President; Parlin, Secretary; Doctor Sanderson, Doctor Thomas Coolidge; Elder W.C. White; Elder Richards and Jones of the Directors; also Mrs. E.G. White Haynes Kilgore and others. Prayer by Elder Jones. Dr. Coolidge reported that the owner of the building at 1436 Market Street would not undertake to enlarge or improve the building in view of the rainy season about to begin. Elder Jones stated the object of the calling of the special meeting. That information had come from Dr. Rand that he would not be able to come to this coast at the present time, and that Dr. Sanderson had advised him that it would be necessary to relieve him of his position, and suggesting that Dr. Coolidge be asked to connect with the St. Helena Sanitarium. Dr. Sanderson: It is due to the board that I should make some explanation of the action I have taken, and while I dread to discuss the controversy before us, yet it is due to the board and myself that I should state here the reason for my position. Most of the board very well know that for the last 6 or 8 years, especially for the last 5 years, I have borne the responsibilities of the situation under the most distressing conditions. There has been a strong feeling in my mind a great many times whether it was duty to stay there. But I have always felt a burden for the work. I have had a liking for the work, and have considered it my duty to take up the responsibilities that were thrown upon me there to the best of my ability. When I first took the position, I know that a great many of my brethren felt it was not the position I should hold, and I have always felt that as long as the brethren gave me the position, it was not for me to question whether it was my duty or not. It was my duty to fulfill the obligations that rested upon me as far as I could. I have always felt further that as long as the way was open for me to go on with my work with any degree of freedom, that I should consider it my duty to do so, and in the fear of God discharge those duties to the best of my ability. I further felt that if it were not my work to go on there, that the situation would ripen itself, and that in time I should either know and have the support of all my brethren, or I should be relieved of the situation. This is the feeling with which I have conducted my work for a number of years. Now I have been very sincere in the feeling that the Lord had given me a burden and work to do, and that I was fulfilling that work for Him, or else the thing was a mistake in giving me those responsibilities that were thrown upon me there. If it were a mistake in giving the responsibilities to me, it was not my duty, because it was something that I never sought. I never, in all the time I was there, did anything to take responsibility upon myself. As things turned this summer, it seems to me very evident that the Lord had not called me to the responsibilities that I was trying to carry. In fact, I was told so plainly. And as long as the responsibilities were not divinely put upon me, I have felt that the only thing to do was to be relieved of the burden, and I have accordingly sent in my resignation to the board to take effect at the time when the board and others felt there would be others there to take my place. I considered it carefully when I sent it in, and I have thought and prayed much about it since, and I see no reason to change the action that I have taken. And of course, the situation at the present time is very complicated. But the complications as far as the actual work is concerned, as long as I retained my position, fell almost wholly upon me. That is, as far as sustaining the work is concerned. And the situation that is taken, The moves that have been made have so stirred the situation all around that the burden is a very, very heavy one. And I would rather be relieved than to undertake to carry it further. If there is anything that the board wishes to have me express with reference to my convictions or views relative to anything, it is my understanding that I am perfectly free to do so. I do not, however, wish to bring up anything that will add controversy, except as may be essential to the conditions in hand. Elder Jones. The doctor's resignation before us at the last meeting was to take effect not later than the 1st of October, and this is the first day of October, and the doctor is still of the same mind. It devolves upon the board now, really, to do something. Sister White stated she had written some things upon the matter that none of the members of the board knew about.
Dr. Sanderson.
Since you have given the testimony you have borne up there in public, the family and patients as a whole know that it is not planned for me to stay there.
Sister White. They know as a whole? Dr. Sanderson.
Yes, the patients all know that it is not planned that I should stay there.
Sister White. What other thing has been planned? Has any plan? We have pled with you to remain. But I should not speak. I should let this meeting go right on. I did not come to speak in it, not at present.
Elder Jones. In all the plan that I have had, there has not been that you should go, but that you should stay and work with Dr. Rand when he should come. And so it is immaterial, of course, which way it is, but as a mere matter of fact, it seems plain that the only real planning done has been by yourself. That may be on account of...
Dr. Sanderson.
The situation that led me to hand in my resignation, and that talking commenced after the questions were asked. I would say further, as far as the work is concerned, that I love the work, and I would hesitate very long to do anything that would in any way injure the work, if it were in my power to help the work. If the brethren still feel that this work which I have done, and the work which I am to do, falls to me to do, and I can do it acceptably, and can support me in my work, I am willing to make arrangements to stay. If the brethren feel that they wish me to stay temporarily to tide over a crisis, I will do anything that is just and reasonable to make arrangements to do that. But to stay in St. Helena and work under the influences that I have worked there for years in the past, I cannot do it.
Elder Jones.
What is to be done with the doctor's suggestion that he be relieved and Dr. Coolidge go to St. Helena?
Dr. Coolidge.
Elder, I would like to ask a question or two, prompted by thoughts the doctor has brought out last. Thoughts, if it is acceptable to the brethren, you would like, or might, if they thought best, stay in the work.
Have you some place in mind?
Or did you mean to convey the idea by that you would like to work in some other sanitarium, doctor?
Dr. Sanderson.
No, I did not say that.
Dr. Coolidge.
You were speaking that you would not like to stay at St. Helena under existing circumstances, the way they had been for years past. I thought perhaps you would like to go to some other place and work someplace else?
Dr. Sanderson.
No. I have no burden for any place but St. Helena. I have carried that burden for years, and I have never had any burden to go anywhere else. Except I have been invited to go two or three different times, but those experiments have proved so expensive and so distressing that I do not care to experiment in that line any more.
Jones.
I would like to inquire how it is about Dr. Rand. I understood that he was to be here the 1st of October.
Elder Jones.
The last we heard from him was the telegram to Dr. Sanderson. I have had no letter. There was a letter due to me from him more than a week ago, but it has not come. A telegram came to Dr. Sanderson that it was, I think the words, impossible for him to come at present.
Dr. Sanderson:
Yes, sir. I have had a letter from him since then. I forgot to bring that down. In that letter, he said that he had no special burden for the work here, and he had planned to only come here temporarily.
Elder Jones:
We knew that all the time. That is what puzzles me. They continually write and telegraph when there is not a thing said that he would stay here a long time. Not a single new thought raised or presented. The great rush at the sanitarium, though, I understand, still continues. Dr. Kellogg wrote to Dr. Moran they were still arriving at the rate of 20 or 40 a day, even so late as the 22nd or 23rd of September, so that the great rush might make it impossible for Rand to come in the midst of that. But the qualification is always put there every time at present. At present, cannot come.
Dr. Coolidge: It is agreeable to Dr. Kellogg that he does come, is it?
Elder Jones: Oh, yes.
Dr. Sanderson:
Dr. Kellogg wrote me that it was not his mind to have him come. I am sorry I did not bring those letters down. I did not think of getting them.
Dr. Coolidge: As far as you know, Brother Jones, you expect Dr. Rand out in about a month or 2 weeks?
Elder Jones: I should expect him, yes, shortly after the summer rush is over, when there comes a lull in the heaviness of their work, and to stay at least 6 months, I should think.
Sister White: I would like to say a few words. Perhaps it would be best for me to say a few words. I have borne my testimony to Brother Sanderson of the dangers of himself and his wife, and the possibilities before him and his wife, if they come in right relation to the Lord, and that he would work for them. And we tried to help him all we could, and there were some things that were mentioned that needed another physician. One physician in the sanitarium was not sufficient, to be supplied with young boys. That they needed influential persons in a sanitarium that was empowered or felt in that condition of responsibility that they could speak with the physician, and they could tell him that he was making mistakes, and he could speak with them if he saw they were making mistakes. It is a mutual thing, that they understand how to deal with the many minds that they have to deal with at that sanitarium. It was in God's order that there should be one that should stand right by his side, just as it is given here. That was the testimony that I had to bear, just the first time I conversed with him. That there should be a firm management, and there should be a physician in the institution besides himself. I mentioned these things. It has not been anything that has come since I left Australia, but it is the view that has been presented to me of the sanitariums before I left Australia, and the lacks and the necessities. And I have sent them to the different institutions as they have been presented to me at the Battle Creek Institution and at the other institution. But they did not take it that they must put in their resignation because some errors had been pointed out for them to correct. They did not do that. But they sent me words of expression. They were so grateful that I had pointed them out, and they would work to the point. I might mention names, but I do not think it is best. Some of the very best ones. In other institutions, the same. The publishing institution, and other institutions, and various responsibilities. And I saw that the thing was not understood. That the thing was not taken right, that there was not a discernment of what was comprehended in it. And it has caused me a great deal of suffering of heart and mind to think it was so hard to get anything understood that would change the order of things, and I have tried to lay it out in the very best manner that I could. and my brethren did not know what I have written, because I have not presented it before them. But I am willing that they should see a copy of all that I have written, everything. And if they can say that I have been unmerciful, or hard, or unjust in any of these things, why, I want them to speak. Or if it is so dark that they cannot comprehend it, I want them to say so. I do not say that it is. I say that the very best results, wherever Dr. Sanderson will go, is to give to it every word of that testimony and live right up to it. And when he does that, not to think that he has nothing to change, but to take right hold of it like a sensible man and to correct errors, and then to reach just as high a standard as he can possibly reach. That is what God wants every one of us to do. And I laid that out because that is my work. That is the work that God has appointed me to do, and it would not be proper for any other one to come in and say things that I have said. They should take no kind of excuse to say just what I have said, because the Lord has presented to me the inner workings of matters and the results. And for pushing or trying to get Brother Sanderson out of his place, I have told him that I thought if he were yoked with other physicians, for that is the way it was presented to me, if he could yoke up with other physicians, if he could not yoke up with them here, yoke up with them where they are, and let him be learning something else besides what comes to his mind, and what was his mind and his ways, and it would be for the greatest advantage to him, and then why he might be fitted for the position. But the plea has been made. He has been there 10 years. Well, it is time he was emptied from vessel to vessel, if he has not come up to the very position that God wants him to come up to. That is how the matter stands in the case with me. I have just as tender feelings toward Dr. Sanderson. I have not slept night after night. It has been nigh onto 2 weeks that I have not slept past 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock at night, and one night at 12. And that case has been on me so that every breath was a groan. Why? Because he was so wicked? No, not at all. But because he could not perceive what he might be, what it is his privilege to be, what God could do with him if he would only just understand it himself. And if he could not understand here, he better go somewhere where another condition of things and another atmosphere would be around his soul and that he could discern. Then, by the power of influence, he could discern what the path was.
And it is for his interest to be in that position that he can see where he can reach a higher standard. Now there is the whole beginning and end of it. And I said to him and his wife what I had written to them and to her. God wants her to be converted and stand by the side of her husband, and that they should labor together, and that they should have an influence in the work and cause of God.
Well, was not that what I wrote, Brother Sanderson?
Dr. Sanderson.
It was to that effect, yes.
Sister White. And I have said it to you too, and I have felt an intense interest from the first that I came into that sanitarium. I cannot describe it anything more than the yearning influence that I have had for my own sons, that I have had for Edson, that I have had for Willie. And Edson has a pile of letters that high that I have written and written and written what God wanted him to do, what he must do. Well, he could not realize it until the power of God got hold of him and he saw it. Oh, said he, now I take those letters, said he. Why, they seem to burn right into my soul like a fire, says he. I see it now, but I did not see it then. And that is my work. It is not to tell Brother Sanderson everything you have done is all just right. it is just right, and to daub it with untempered mortar. God wants a man to be in a position where the Holy Spirit of God can work with him, and that he knows it. And it is these things that I have written to my own people. Yes, to my own husband, and to my whole family, and no matter who it is, I have the testimony to bear just as it has been laid open before me. And that is what I have tried to lay open. Nothing of my feelings. I have nothing as far as Dr. Sanderson and I are concerned. There has been the most perfect harmony and respect and love, the love of Jesus Christ between him and me. I know not one thing that he has ever said or done, or that I have said or done to him personally. Is there, Dr. Sanderson? Dr. Sanderson, no. Sister White, not a thing, but to make it understood, and you know that I am not his enemy. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do it. It is beyond my ken. I cannot do it. We have got souls to save or lose, and if I should repress anything that God has opened before me, don't you see what a responsibility would be upon my soul? Why, I should feel, if they should stumble and fall, why you did not do your duty to him. You did not do it. And then, when I do my duty, and it has the opposite effect from what God wants it to have and what I wanted it to have, why then, I don't know what I am going to do with that. Dr. Sanderson, I don't want Sister White to feel for a moment that I have any feeling of enmity, or that you have done anything but what came from the very kindest motive of your heart. As far as the standard you have presented before us is concerned, I fully agree with you. There is not a thing that you have presented before me that you wish me to attain to, but what my soul yearns after just as much as yours does. But the way you have presented the situation, and the things which you have stated were necessary to the situation, and the facts which you have referred to with reference to a different situation, is something that I cannot at all understand. Sister White, yes, but if you had understood it, and had been going right on in that way, Brother Sanderson, it would make you guilty. As you have not understood it, and have done the best you thought that you knew how, and yet was not the best thing to do, and the Lord in his mercy tells you what is the best thing to do, that you are making a mistake. And that mistake is leaving impressions on the institutions that he doesn't want to make. And there is no need of your making them if you come into a position that he wants you to come. That is how it is. We don't want to hurt, nor wound, nor bruise your soul. We don't want to do that, but we do not want you to take a position that you will always regret. You may not now, but the time will come when you will regret it.
I have things written out which I will in the future, as soon as I can get it copied. I will let you have a copy of what the Lord expects of all who labor in the sanitarium. And it is there that their influence is to tell on all classes of people. And in the past, Dr. Kellogg has been just as faithful, just as thankful that I would point right out to him, "You should not have done that. You should not have spoken that. You should not have done this thing." And he would send right back, "I ought not to have done it, and I will take it right back." Well, again and again and again that testimony came, and finally he stood up. Said he, "It is Sister White's testimonies that have made me what I am, if I can have any influence." Said he, "She has bound me right about by the Lord's restrictions, and then encouraged me." Said he, "It is that." And when his mother died, said he, "You are the only mother I have got." Well, that is the work that I have had all the way along. I have not begun to talk to you in these things as the Lord has opened it in years past to talk to Dr. Kellogg in regard to certain courses and influences that were hurting him, and that he should not do it.
And that is the only thing that has saved him, is the testimonies. Because he did not believe, he did not consider that it was so until it was laid right out before him, and he did believe the testimonies. I feel an intense interest for every soul. I carry them. Once their case is presented to me, I carry them on my soul day and night. And considered and pray. And that is why there have been 2 weeks. There has only been one night out of 2 weeks that I have slept after 2:30 o'clock. But it has been praying to God in agony, that my soul has been in agony. And it has been so in the case of Dr. Sanderson and his wife. For I could see what they could be, but what they would be if they carried themselves right in their own hands. And that has led me to write quite fully. And yet it has not all gone to them yet. And yet I have waited to see how matters would turn. I have written them about it. I had said enough before writing. I should not have come here at all today. Only I thought there might be some points misunderstood or something that I might say. I did not come for any controversy, for God's Spirit does not want me to have any controversy with anybody, only to bear my testimony. But if there were anything misunderstood that I could help to have it understood, I would do so. But to have controversy, I have been forbidden to have any controversy with anyone. Bear your testimony clear and just as I give it to you, and it is not your business to try to make anyone believe it. That is not your work. And that is the only way that was ever presented to me that I could save my life. Because I felt so intensely over these cases, but that I must leave it with the Lord and have no controversy over it. I had done my duty and leave it there. Dr. Sanderson, as the brethren know so little about the testimonies, I would like to have them read, if you have the testimonies here. The brethren are unable to judge very much of the testimonies, as very few of them know anything about them. I would be glad to have them read. Sister White, have you them with you? Dr. Sanderson, I have the first one you sent me. Sister White, recently I sent something to Dr. Kellogg just as I had it. That is, just a day or two ago. He wrote something about telling me, speaking how intensely he felt about the matter. He has been one that is the very best friend you have got in the world. He has just wanted that you could develop, and he has had an intense interest. He has never spoken one word to your demerit, not one word. Dr. Sanderson, here is the first testimony that you gave me, that you sent. I have here. Sister White, I wish you had them all. I am very sorry that you did not bring the last one. To the managers of the St. Helena Sanitarium, I am impressed that the time has come to say something in regard to the sanitarium at St. Helena. There is need of the vivifying power of the Holy Spirit being felt throughout the institution. Much has been presented to me during the last 15 years in regard to this institution, and this I have written out plainly and clearly in many communications. I have a pile of letters I think that deep that I have written in regard to the sanitarium. Its history has been presented to me, and I have written to Dr. Sanderson in reference to its management. I am surprised that he says he has not had it, and I know it is among my writings somewhere, but I have not had time to look it up. Dr. Sanderson, this is the first communication I ever had from you, except the one which you wrote concerning Brother Carruthers, you remember. Sister White, he has not shown wisdom.
Sister White, in regard to Sister Mary Sanderson and the other physicians, Sister Mary Sanderson especially would be of great use to the institution were she humble before God, a great blessing. But there is this pride, and not submissive to the will of God. Now, I did not expect, you know, to come this meeting, Brother Sanderson.
I told Willie I was not going to this meeting. I expected to make a stay, perhaps, over the Sabbath and speak to the people. If I had expected to have attended this meeting, I should have brought the letters along.
Elder Jones,
I am satisfied myself that something definite should be understood and undertaken. For, as Dr. Sanderson says, it is neither for the benefit of any physician or the institution that the influence should be merely tentative for a long time. And we are met now for that purpose. So, I hope the brethren will all be thinking of what we ought to do. If he cannot find it in his mind or in his practice to make those changes, then, so far as I understand the situation at all, it is plain to me that the institution would be better off without him there, if he cannot make those changes. I had just as soon work with him as anybody else in the world, so far as my part in the work is concerned. And all I have ever understood is that if he can make those changes, all would be glad to have him stay. And the local board up there on the 11th of September, on the way down from Healdsburg to this place, I met with the local board that evening, and the doctor stated his views of treating a certain class of cases, and I wish that that could have been taken down exactly as it was. I have thought several times since that I would give $20 if I had it, just as it was stated there. I do not know how it could be stated better. As he stated it that day, it was as plain to my mind as anything can be that that kind of practice is simply the first steps to the direct practice of hypnotism, and is, in essence, that, so far as it is practiced now. And with that carried on in the institution, taught to the helpers, to the classes, etc., I could not imagine how much more damage could be done to the institution than to have it so. And it would be impossible for as much damage to come to the institution from Dr. Sanderson's going as it would be by his staying that those views, practicing those methods, and teaching those principles to the classes, and whosoever might be working with him and expecting them to be adopted and used in the institution. And for him to stay with those views, and another difficulty would arise. I expect to be at St. Helena myself to stay a month or 6 weeks to work in the spiritual interests of that institution in any way that I can. And a part of my work there would be to teach them simple, plain, Christian experience, conversion, etc. And our service of God is first service of the mind. A transformation of the mind is the first element of Christianity. To receive another mind than the mind which we have, the mind of Jesus Christ. And teaching those simple, plain principles of Christianity would come in direct antagonism to the principles which Dr. Sanderson stated as the principles upon which he would treat certain classes of cases. And understanding the situation as he stated it, I do not see how he could stay, nor how the board could ask him to stay with those views and those methods of practice. But without them, I am perfectly free and willing and glad to have him remain and go on in the way that the Lord is leading. But now, if the doctor cannot change his mind and leave out those methods, then we must, it seems to me, provide for something else. And why wait any longer to do it? His resignation takes effect today at the latest, as it was written. And unless he finds a place to change his mind and to go the other direction, why certainly we are here to act, not with any purpose or thought of injuring him or separating him from the institution at all, but act as we must act with the responsibility of that institution upon us. So that, if the doctor maintains that attitude still, then the only thing we have to do is to count his resignation final as it was made, and we diligently set about
to the best of our ability, in the fear of God, to find someone whom we can put in there to the best advantage at present. I should say we want Rand. I can see that plain enough. We want him, and I should not be satisfied at all to give up that thing until we get him. Even if Dr. Sanderson should stay, I say we want Rand. And we want him for a purpose, and that is, so far as I can understand the history of that institution from the time I went there when it was shut up before, the first time I was ever there, and the last time, I think, until I came here, was up there in June, was when Dr. Gibbs went over to open the institution. And that is the first, and I think the last time until last June, to my understanding, from that time to this, that institution has never had a chance to be founded upon right principles.
Sister White, that is so.
Elder Jones, it has been a succession of misses, not of hits and misses. General discussion at some length followed. Elder Jones, so now, in view of all these things, what is your choice, Brother Sanderson, so we can go ahead?
Dr. Sanderson, I cannot state my choice any more plainly than I have stated it.
Then what does the board think of Brother Sanderson's suggestion? Brother Sanderson, in asking for this meeting, suggests that Dr. Coolidge be invited to come to the sanitarium. I do not know anything about these things myself. Dr. Moran was agreed to it, or thought that would be all right.
If Dr. Sanderson remains at St. Helena, he needs help. If he does not remain, the institution needs a good doctor. If Dr. Coolidge is his first choice, I should feel inclined to concur in it. Of course, we should have to consider what would be done here. In regard to going to St. Helena, it would depend upon what you brethren would say. In regard to changes in the future, if Dr. Rand comes there, Dr. Rand may want a strong man under him from the East, whom he knows possibly. In case he should want anything like that, it would be agreeable to make any change he should want. At the present time, if there is a necessity of having some change made, and you want somebody to go up there and attend to the patronage there now, if the brethren wish it, I will go. And I understand that that thing cannot positively be made permanent at the present time, because, as a rule, whenever you change your administration, there are several other changes to be made. As far as I'm concerned, it depends altogether on what the brethren wish. We were talking in our board meeting recently that our work in this city should be more definitely connected with our church work in this city. Then why not invite Dr. Buchanan to take the place of Dr. Coolidge, as we have already voted that a lady physician should be a part of the institution? Why not invite Dr. Buchanan to connect with the work in San Francisco? I would say with regard to Dr. Buchanan, he starts in today to take a postgraduate course and intends to remain in the college 9 months. It is very questionable whether you could get him. He expects to put in every morning in the college for 9 months. I move a committee of three be appointed by the chair, the chairman to be one, to wait upon Dr. Buchanan in regard to the proposed change and his connection with the work here. Seconded and carried. Committee selected: Jones, W.C. White, Dr. Thomas Coolidge. Recess until 4. Upon reassembling at the hour appointed, also present, Dr. Buchanan. Prayer by Elder Richards and Elder Jones. Dr. Coolidge reported further upon the impossibility of having any changes made in the building at 1436 Market Street, in view of the approaching rainy season, before another year. It was moved, seconded, and carried that Dr. Thomas Coolidge be invited to connect with the sanitarium at St. Helena as soon as arrangements can be made. It was also moved and carried that Dr. Thomas Coolidge be invited to accept the position of house physician at the sanitarium and request that he take up that work as soon as possible.
Also, that Dr. Coolidge be appointed as a member of the local board of management of the St. Helena Sanitarium. The committee appointed to confer with Dr. Buchanan reported by Elder Jones. Dr. Buchanan has a business averaging $150 per month. He proposes to accept our invitation to take charge here in connection with the branch at a salary of $75 per month, and we recommend that the association pay him $25 per month for his business. In other words, his business amounts to $150 a month clear. A salary of $75 a month leaves $900, and he proposes to donate $600 of that. And this leaves the amount that the association is to pay him in round numbers, in the way of salary and recompense for his business, $100 per month. And the committee recommends that the doctor's offer be accepted, and he be connected with the branch here beginning October 1, 1901. I move this report of the committee be adopted. Second the motion. I would like to inquire how much time the doctor proposes to give to the work. He says he has entered upon that 9 months college postgraduate course in another institution, and he says that it will be an important advantage to his work even here, and the time he can take his lessons, that occupies only in the forenoon, and give his regular hours here afternoon and evening without interfering with his business. I would be here in the morning before college, and in case of necessity, I would leave college and go and answer a call. I have to do that now in emergency cases. Brother White asks for how long a time this arrangement should continue. Do you look to me for an answer? Yes, sir. I am perfectly willing, brethren, that this should be reconsidered tomorrow, and at any time that my business doesn't pay, just tell me. I know I can make it pay for Buchanan, and I think I can make it pay for the Lord.
I should say it should stand as long as the business stands, as it does at the time of the making of the arrangement. That is satisfactory to me, gentlemen. Thereupon, the motion was put and declared carried unanimously. Brother Haynes then stated that he had received notification of invitation to take the management of the Pacific Health Journal, and that the food company had voted for him to devote one half of his time to the journal, the other half to be devoted to the food company work around the bay. The pending resignation of Dr. Sanderson was again referred to. Brother Parlin. I move that the resignation of Dr. Sanderson from the various boards and committees be accepted. In order to get this out of the way, I second the motion. Thereupon, the motion was put and declared carried unanimously. Elder W.C. White. I move that we invite Dr. Rand to accept the position of Physician-in-Chief of the St. Helena Sanitarium and ask him to come at the earliest possible moment. Seconded and carried. Moved, seconded, and carried that Kilgore be appointed chairman of the local board of the St. Helena Sanitarium. Also moved, seconded, and carried that we express to Dr. Sanderson our appreciation of his earnest and faithful labors in behalf of the St. Helena Sanitarium, and that we request our president to confer with him with reference to taking up labor in some of the other institutions under this association. Moved and carried to adjourn to second Sunday in October at 12 o'clock to meet at St. Helena Sanitarium. Adjourned. Parlin, Secretary.